God bless you. Welcome to Soteria Prophetic Ministries. I'm your host, Delisa Fields, and today is a very special day. Turn my notifications off because it's my birthday and my phone has been animated. So I'm going to put my phone on D&D for a little bit so that we can share. I was, it's no secret. I rise early and spend time with my King. And of course, this morning was no different. But today I just wanted to thank him for another year. I wanted to thank him for another year. And my apostolic mother called and blessed me with words of wisdom and prophetic insight into this next season of my life. And I'm so grateful. But as I was thanking God, I said, Lord, I said, you know, I asked the question. I said, how many more days or years do I have left? And because I vowed to the Lord that there was something that I wanted to accomplish before I take my rest. Now, I know people don't like to talk about that, but the reality of it is, you know, we will not be here forever. Thanks to Adam in the Garden of Eden that, you know, man has to die. That was one of the curses that came as a result of Adam's sin, whereas God intended for us to live forever. But of course, sin entered in and it shortened our lifespan. So, you know, it's wisdom to take advantage of the days and years that you have. As I was meditating and thanking God for another day, I was reading Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 16, where it says, So then take heed that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as those who are wise. And you all know that I'm a big proponent of wisdom. So walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as those who are wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. So, you know, there's several things that I wanted to share just briefly. Certainly not going to be with you long today, but certainly a few things that I wanted to share with you that when you think about, especially when you're, you know, 40 plus, you know, it's really time to start thinking about, you know, your legacy. And it's time to think about, you know, what is the purpose behind what you do? You know, what is the meaning behind your existence? Is it just to blow up and then deflate? You know, are you looking to build something that's sustainable, something that's going to outlast and outlive you? You know, what, like the Bible says, you know, understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God now in the second half of my life? And many of you are in the second halves of your life, or maybe, you know, I don't know what that looks like for you, but believe in God that I'm in the second half of my life. You know, what does that look like? You know, I think back on, you know, all that I have experienced and have gone through. And one of the things that kind of it intrigued me was that a song came in my spirit. And I hadn't heard this song since I was in my early 20s. And by this time, I was serving the Lord on our mass choir, and I was singing in the alto section. And the song was entitled, How Excellent Is Thy Name, and it's by Sandra Crouch. And so if you get a minute, just listen to it. It's like a 4-minute song on YouTube. But anyway, as I was just thinking and meditating over my life and over, you know, the time that I have left and what I've done with the time that I've already had, that song came into my spirit. And so I listened to it. And, you know, I was intrigued because I said, you know what, at that age of my life, I had no idea, you know, what the next 20 some years would bring. I had no idea. I had no idea, you know, about the losses or the gains. I had no idea about the things that I would learn, the things that I would have to unlearn. Oh my God, so many things I had to unlearn. And so just looking, you know, in retrospect and reflecting, you know, that time from being 20 something and to now in my mid 40s, and you think about in just that short period of time, so much has transpired. And so then as I look forward and so if I look forward with that, with a great expectation, because if I could see the growth in just 20 something years, You know, I mean, tremendous growth, relationship growth, spiritual growth, developmental growth, decision making growth. So many areas I have grown in just that short 20 something years. It's really not a long period of time. But I look at how I have grown tremendously in just a little over 20 years. So when I look ahead, And fully believing that, you know, I'm going to fulfill the time that I've asked God to give me, as long as I, again, understand what the will of the Lord is, and then knowing that He will preserve me to that end, to that expected end. I'm excited about the next half of my life. I'm excited about the next year. I'm excited about the next 5 years, the next 10 years. And so when you think about that, it really puts things in perspective for you. Because many times we can get sort of bogged down on the mundane and, you know, I'm going to work and I'm going to go home and bake some chicken and make potato salad. I mean, you know, just ordinary things. I've got to do laundry Saturday. I've got to dust, you know, or whatever. And so it's not unusual for us to get bogged down in the mundane, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, everyday thing. But what I really want you to look at today, and this is my birthday present to you, is to look at, you know, the meaning behind everything that you do and attribute purpose to it. Now, back in my 20s, when I'm thinking about serving, you know, my family dinner, what have you, it was just to get everybody fed, get them in bed so I can have at least an hour, you know, either to spend time with my husband or just to think, you know what I'm saying, as being a young mother, you know, in that time. Now, when I prepare dinner, of course, you know, my children are grown, and my husband, usually he'll, you know, cook, you know, we share duties, what have you. But it's different. Now, when I prepare dinner, I'm more cognizant of how much sugar is going in here, how much salt, you know, I don't serve sodas at all. Don't even believe in sodas anymore. You know, whereas back in the day, you know, we'd have a 12 pack or something. Sodas, of course. So it's amazing how I've grown. You know, I don't have nearly as much laundry as I used to have. I mean, back in the day, I had, you know, baby bottoms and footies and booties and all of this stuff. And now it's just me and my husband's clothes. So, again, it's amazing how the things that we, you know, I guess I want to say take for granted. And I'm just talking, guys. The things that we take for granted, how one day you can look up and all of that has changed. And it comes slowly. It's not an over the night thing. It comes slowly. So does many of our breakthroughs and deliverances and growth. It's not something that you're going to wake up and just feel a knot on the side of your head and by golly, you've got it. But you're going to find that growth being progressive. You're going to see it manifested in your reactions, your responses, the way that you make decisions, the way that you approach things. You're going to find that being different over a period of time. And then you'll look back and like me, be in amazement, you know, as to how that happened. You know, the way I used to chastise my children, of course, you know, that was then when they were little. Now, you know, what little issue I have with them, it's a conversation. Sometimes we can deal with it by text. So, you know, it's just attributing purpose and meaning to your life and taking advantage of the moments that you have, because these moments change. You know, I had one of my clients who wrote a book, Seasons Change. Things change. And so what looks to you today like this will never change, this will never get better, I will always deal with this, I maintain to tell you, my friend, that it will not always be like that. And that if you can understand the meaning behind why you do what you do, for me, the meaning behind, well, of course, I work for the public school, so we're out for the summer. But, you know, and I'm already, you know, preparing to get back to work, getting back into that work mode. But the meaning behind me getting up early to go to work is, number one, so that I can, and this is not even monetarily based, not even how much money I can make, which, thank God, that's a good thing. But my motive for going to work is really not money. It's not monetary reward. It's really not. For me, it's a byproduct. But for me, when I get up in the mornings and go to work, my mission and my purpose, I attribute the purpose and meaning to that, is to show my children that, you know, show my children how to have good work ethic. They don't see me getting up late. They don't see me calling in, you know, because I have a headache or I'm having a bad day or because my foot, they, no matter what mommy is dealing with or no matter what mommy is going through, she gets up every morning and she's on her way to work and she's in the car thanking God for her job. And so you may not think about it like that. You know, when you carpooling and dropping your children off or picking them up, or what have you, and they're even picking up on your vibe. What is your going to work vibe look like? You know, what is your coming home vibe look like? You know, they're picking up on your vibes. You know, back in the day, I think about when I would be in the grocery stores and I've got, you know, either one kid, you know, on my ankle, another one, because my husband and I had them back to back. Praise God. It worked out for us. I mean, they're all now best of friends and they're all grouped together. So it really worked out. I mean, it was frustrating. I'll give you that. And, you know, we suffered a lot because of that, but I thank God he worked it out. It worked for our good. Now they're all doing their thing. Praise God, worshiping God together, enjoying each other's fellowship, taking each other out to movies. And we love it. We absolutely love it. But, you know, when I would take them to the grocery store, you know, it would be one with their hand in the bubblegum aisle. You know, another one in the carrier in the shopping cart crying and lost a pacifier. You know, I mean, we laugh now, but if you had those days, you know, it was not funny. You were that stressed out mom in the lane at the store, and God help you if there's a long line, right? But again, you look at that and it was just an ordinary day, just a regular day at the shopping center with the kids. Now, when I'm in the grocery store and I, you know, have, you know, maybe one or two of them with me, just depends. It's different. They see me engaging the cashier, asking them how their day was, or if they see, you know, if I see the cashier's frustrated or they had an irate customer in front of me, I'll, you know, crack a joke or just, you know, say something humorous just to try to break that, you know, and it's all ministry. You know, they see that when I'm on aisles, I'm looking at the cans, how much sodium is in it. You know, whereas back in the day, if it's a two for a dollar, five for a dollar, 10 for a dollar, we're getting it. So again, do you see the growth? Do you see, you know, how you have matured? You know, and I just want to take you back down memory lane for a little bit, because like I said, we can get stuck in the mundane, the ordinary, run of the mill every day. Nothing's going to change, but something is changing, and you don't see it, or you may not acknowledge it because it's not happening, you know, like you would want it to. It's not happening fast enough, or it's not impactful enough. But I maintain to tell you, you're changing. You're growing. You're glowing. You are developing. You are maturing through every situation, things that you are going through. The way you used to handle it back then, you don't handle it the same now. You know, the way I used to handle conflict, I don't handle that anymore the same way. You know, things I used to, even with my husband and myself, things we used to argue, and when I say fight, I mean like argue verbally, you know, back and forth at each other, what have you. Now it's like, you know, we've matured. And so, you know, and listen, and when you put so much, when you've invested a lot, you know, you watch your investment. When you have invested a lot in your career, in your marriage, in your relationships, then it has weight. It has value. And so whereas in times past, you may say, you know what, forget it. I'm done. You go your way. I go my way. I'm out of here. I'm resigning. I quit. I'm leaving. When you put stock into something and you've invested your life into that, you don't, you know, depending on what the situation is, of course, it shouldn't be that easy to just pack up and walk away. So, you know, again, just thinking about it, you know, take heed. The Bible says that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, you know, understanding that, you know what, I'm middle age. I have probably half of my life behind me. And so it's not wise for me to act out. You know, it's not wise for me to act like a fool. It's not wise. You know, it wasn't wise back then, but it's certainly not wise right now. You know, you have too much to lose. You know, as I was saying with my husband and I, you know, even now when we have our disagreements, you know, I'll state what I have to say. He says what he has to say, and he loves to communicate that. We're both alphas. He's alpha male and I'm alpha female. So sometimes we do. We're very passionate, you know, about life, about our children, about our, we're very passionate people. And so when we feel strongly about something, we feel strong, whether it's right or wrong, it's the way we feel. And so we may not see eye to eye on certain things. Doesn't mean that we mean the other person harm. It's just, I can't see where you're coming from and you can't see where I'm coming from. And so then, you know, as we have matured over the years and we've gone through tremendous things in our, you know, relationship over the years, we've learned to say, you know what, I don't understand where you're coming from. Let's just pray about it. Or, you know what, forget it. Or, you know, let's not talk about this right now. Or let's revisit it later. Let's, you know, we find ways to deal. Wisdom will teach you that. Redeeming the time, walking circumspectly. When you're walking circumspectly, you're walking with a purpose. You understand why I'm here. I understand. As I woke up this morning, my notifications were going off for one thing, but I said, God, thank you that I'm still here. As a matter of fact, before I went to bed last night, I told my husband, I said, honey, I'm glad I'm still here. You know, not just to have a birthday and the cake and all that that goes with it, but I'm so glad that God saw fit to still have need of me. There are many people that have not made it. And I'm not saying God doesn't have need of them, please. I don't know what their story is. I'm just talking about me. My thing was, God, I'm glad that you still need me here. I'm glad that you are still keeping me. I told my mentor this morning, I said, I thank God that I'm still here and I'm kept by the grace of God. So when the Bible says about redeeming the time, because the days are evil, redeem is, it means to buy it back. You know, it means to take full advantage of the time that you have, understanding that you don't have any time to lose. And so I say that to many of you who are listening to me today, take inventory of time, not money, not your material stuff, your education, your career, your whatever, not your house or your car, but time is the most valuable asset that you have. And you can't go back and fix anything. You have to make good of what you have left. If you are able to fix and repair things that you've done in the past, by all means, do it. Repair it. Redeem it. Resuscitate it. Revive it. Resurrect it. Of course, there's many things that we need to, you know, remain dead. Let stay dead. But, you know, if you can, when you think about your life and you attribute purpose and meaning to your life, and if you look back down your life and see relationships that maybe in an immature season that you were going through, you destroyed. You know, maybe I have so many powerful testimonies about relationships that the enemy sought to destroy. And one by one, I'm seeing the power of God revive, and I almost have tears in my eyes. I see one by one how God is restoring it, and he's repairing it. And it comes with a great deal of humility, you know, accepting our end, you know, accepting the part that we played. So I'm very grateful for another day. But I also want to bless you with this short little word to redeem the time. Think about the time that you have right now. Think about all the years that you've had and take a moment and reflect, like I did this morning, a song from in my 20s singing on the mass choir. Lord, how excellent is your name. I want to just read to you if I could find the lyrics really quick. The lyrics to that song, because, you know, I sung it back then and I just, oh, hold up. That was playing it. I sung it back then and I had no idea of the power behind that song. Give me just a minute. Okay. The name of the song is My God, How Excellent Is Your Name, and it's by Sandra Crouch. And here are the lyrics. It says, my God, how excellent is your name. Glory, honor to you we give. You're worthy of all our praise. All power, all knowledge, all wisdom I find in you. My Savior, Lord, and King, how excellent is your name. And then the lead comes on and says, holy, 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 and divine, thou who reigns over all the earth, fill my heart with peace. Let me see. And that's basically, they're pretty much, you know, going into the vent with that. But I sung that back in my early 20s, and here I am, you know, 20 plus years later, and I look back over those words that I released from my lips. And do you know what, friends? I see the manifestation of that. Again, you know, I just sang that song. I just sung it. One of my older brothers was a choir director. So, you know, I was more focused on not missing a key, not missing the lyrics of it, you know, coming in on the right time. So I was more focused on the mechanics of the song as opposed to the heart and the meaning behind it. But now I look all of these years later and the Holy Spirit brought it back to my remembrance and said, excuse me, go and look at those lyrics. And as I look at those lyrics and I look over what God has brought me through, listen, my God, how excellent is your name? I give glory and honor to you. You are worthy of our praise. You have all power, all knowledge, all wisdom, and I found that in you. You're my Savior, my Lord, and my King. How excellent is your name? 20-year-old girl singing that song in the alto section of the choir, having no idea that I released words prophetically over my life that would carry me through, oh God, storms, through hurricanes, through tsunamis, floods. That song in my 20s, while I'm having kids and being frustrated, and my husband and I are being a young married couple, and so you think about what that looks like. But that song, there was something in that song that I released prophetically over my life, over my marriage, over my children, that even while they were babies, sucking on pacifiers and wearing Pampers and right behind one another, sharing each other's clothes, little did I know that that song carried a prophetic influence that would govern my life for decades. And that song would heal my marriage. The power of that song would raise those little babies up who were crying and who had snotty noses and messy diapers. Little did I know that while they were sitting in the audience with their grandmother, watching mommy on the choir, watching daddy being a deacon, little did I know that God, in his power, in his knowledge, and in his wisdom, would raise them up. And now when I look at my life 20 something years later, and I look at their lives 20 something years later, and they're singing songs of praise to the King. And you know what? Many of those songs will carry them. Because even though I could not understand why I was going through what I was going through, why I was dealing with what I was dealing with, couldn't understand the frustration as a young mother, a young wife, but I held on to God. I endured all the choir rehearsals. I endured all the noonday prayer and evening prayers. I endured the 3 services a week and kept my children in every last one of them. And little did I know, my friends, that what I did was attributing purpose and meaning to my life, and that I was sowing seed. Listen to me very carefully. Many of you think that what you're doing, nobody notices you. I feel a breath. That nobody notices you. Nobody sees you. Nobody cares. You know, you don't see yourself ever breaking free from it. You don't see yourself ever getting past it. But let me encourage you. Glory comes after it. Glory comes after the pain. Glory comes after the struggle. Glory comes after the strife. Glory comes behind the tears. Glory comes behind the pain. Glory comes.
And as I look over my life today and my older children and all of them have called and, you know, they've got plans. I don't know what that looks like. My husband has made plans and many people have made plans. I would have never known that 20 something years ago. I had no idea why I was doing what I was doing. All I knew was that I loved the Lord. I loved my husband. I loved my children. And I was committed to the work. Had no idea I would be an apostle. Had no idea I would be a prophet. Had no idea I would be pastoring. Had no idea. Had no idea. You know, living in an apartment, you know, with people over me, you know, had no idea I'd be living in a 5-bedroom brick home on an acre of land, you know, in a suburban area, hidden. Had no idea. Had no idea. But God, He saw me through it. And so today, my friends, when I give God a praise, whether I'm in corporate worship with my church family or whether I'm in a conference somewhere and, you know, the praise team is going in or whether I'm at home, you better believe I know why I lift my hands. I know why I sing praises unto my King, because He is excellent. He's an excellent, excellent King, and He's a good Father. And I want to encourage you today as I leave you with this scripture, Ephesians 5, 16 through 17. Put stock into the days that you have. Put stock into today. Put seed into today. Whatever you do with your children or your grandchildren or your loved ones, don't look at it as, oh, I'm just feeding them. I'm just taking them to the store. There is something behind it that's more powerful than you could have ever realized. And you may not see it today and you may not see it tomorrow, but you will see the fruit of those actions. And I pray it works for you. I pray it's good fruit, good seed. But I pray it comes back to bless you as it has blessed me and is blessing me. So I thank God for you all. And I'm going to get ready and enjoy my day. But I just had to give glory and honor to the King and thank Him for His keeping power. Another year to serve Him, to serve His people, to be a blessing to the nations. He's kept me another year, and I'm grateful. So God bless you, grace and peace, until the next time.